the one we spoke about. I want to talk to you today about something that's really on my heart. In these 25 minutes, that's what I've got. So I'm now going to look at my watch and I'm going to time myself. For these 25 minutes or so, I want to look at how we can know God. And the first thing I would love to do, and I love the fact that so many of you have got your devices out and that you're taking notes. If you don't have pen or paper, I'm going to allow you to pick up your phone. Without going to Facebook, without going to the message that your wife just sent to your husband or friend or whoever, I want you to go to notes if you got notes. Because you know why? I want you to be able to teach this to someone else. Every one of us is supposed to be able to be ministers of the Lord. We're supposed to be able to teach the Word of God. Don't rely on your elders to be doing this for you. This is your job. It's my job. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's filled us all, and he expects us to know his word. I want in these few minutes to talk about how we can know God relationally, how we can trust God explicitly, and how we can live an intentional life. You know, I was preaching 30 years before we ever had these things. I know that's hard for you to believe. These amazing devices that were supposed to connect us together. And they've never seen something that's been so divisive for breaking society. It's literally broken our society. You can't get off them. The first thing people do in the morning, grab their devices and have a look at Facebook, look at what someone's saying, or maybe looking at what someone's eating this morning. They want to put up photographs of what they're eating. I thank God I'm not in that place. But I used to always say, when we didn't have these devices, that the dullest pencil is better than the sharpest mind. The dullest pencil is better than the sharpest mind, because in about a week's time, you will not know what I preached unless you've written it down. You'll just have forgotten. It'll be in the malaise. It'll be just somewhere out there in the ether of, and the older you get, oh my goodness, what I'm finding is, it's hard for me to remember what I did yesterday. But yeah. Julian said I was retired. I'm not really. I'm just being retreaded. That's all. The wheels have been taken off. I'm getting retreaded. And I'm coming back on. But, you know, I just want you to write down now in your books, or I want you to write down your favorite verse, your go-to verse. What's your go-to verse when it all starts to happen? What's your go-to verse? Okay, I want you to write it down. I don't want you to go to Google and find out the verse that you're thinking of. I want you to write it down, because it's important to me that you feel this, that you sense this. Okay, that was an easy one. You know, I've got these here. These are scripture praying. I love this, and I'm going to share them with you today. I think there's enough people that maybe everyone can get one. And I just want you, if you can, just to have one of those and maybe keep it by your bed, have it in your Bible. Consider this as something that you can just have to pray on. Maybe it could be the verse that you thought of. Now I want you to do another thing. I want you to write down the verse you go to when it all starts to happen. When the horror of your life begins to come upon you. When you've lost someone that means so much. When you've lost something that means so much. Where do you go to? Where do you run to? You see, I want us to get to the point that we realize that because of God, this is how God communicates who he is. If we don't know this, we don't know God. Don't deceive yourself. If you don't know the Bible, you do not know God. Because he tells you all about him. He tells the richness of who he is in God's word. This is a word that's so amazingly big to God, that he says that he magnified this word above his very name. Holy, holy, holy is the word of God. It's majestic. It means everything to him. You cannot know him without the word. How much do you know the word? If you can say, I don't know the word, let me tell you something. You don't know God. You may know an image. You may know a thing that you consider for a while, but you don't know him. He reveals himself to us through his word. And it's a life-giving word. Remember Jesus on the road to Samaria, where the Samaritans would never, I mean, the Jews would never want to go through Samaria. And they'd go travel three-day travel rather than just the one day through Samaria. He said, we're going through Samaria. And he meets a woman at the well. And she's so undeserving in her own heart. And he says to her about drawing water. And he said, if you knew what I had, I have living water. I have living water. This is the living water of God. If we will come and drink of this water, it will impart to us life. This is a life-giving word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scriptures God breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction. That's what it profits us. And the whole purpose of it is that the man of God or the woman of God would be complete, truly furnished unto every good work. This word of God, it's to equip us in every way. Doctrinally, it reproves us when we got things wrong. It corrects us again to allow us to once again believe what the word of God really, that we would walk a strong walk with God. We can't do without this word of God. So I want to just do an exercise with you today. And it's a simple exercise. And I just want you to put maybe just your hands on your lap and just relax. I'm going to get you to breathe a little bit. Okay, just close your eyes. I won't tickle you. Okay. Just close your eyes and take a really deep breath. Take a really deep breath in and a really deep breath out. And again, a really deep breath in and a deep breath out. And as I do this, I just want you to continue breathing, otherwise you'll die. And I just want you to hear these words. It's from Psalm 18. 1 and 2, it says, I love you. Breathe in. I love you, Lord. This is our opportunity to tell the Lord how we love him. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. We have no strength of our own. Even Jesus said, I can do nothing by myself. You are my strength. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my Savior. So we stand firm in the fortress of God, protected, secure, safe. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield and the power that saves me. Ephesians says that fiery arrows are being fired at us all the time by our enemy, but he's our shield. Blocking us, protecting us. And he is our safety. We can hide in his shadow. So why share that to you today is just open your eyes now. We'll come back into the room. This is the exercise you can have in the morning. Life is all about choices. You are where you are today because of the choices that we made, like it or not. But every day you can choose to pull out your Bible, to go to God, Father, just start the morning, Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Start every morning like that for 2 weeks and have a look at yourself in 2 weeks' time. Jesus, I love you. Push the phone away. Then come to the point where you're breathing. And then take your verse. Take that verse into your being. This is coming from someone who's had 50 odd years with the Lord and I still don't know him well enough. This is someone who needs to wear glasses, has got hearing aids, who's now retired, but not finished. Start every day. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13 says, for my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've hewed out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. You know what that means? That there's times in life that we will actually push God to the side, the fountain of living water, and we'll somehow try and make it in this thing that we made of our own. I don't want all of God. He's just too much. I just want this little part. I just want to come to church on a Sunday morning, hear someone preach the word, and that's enough. That's good enough for me. But no, that can't be, because we're living epistles. Yeah. You know what? You're spiritual beings in a physical body. You're spiritual beings in a physical body. You're aliens here on earth. This is not our home. These people don't think the way we think, and they don't act the way we act. Not shouldn't be. If you ever see yourself thinking the way they think and acting the way they act, then you know that you need to go back to the fountain of living water and dip your cup back in. But I offer you that just as a simple exercise in the morning. Welcome Jesus in. Take these amazing scripture verses and just memorize them. Don't expect Google. I don't want to live a life on AI where I'm totally dependent on Google finding me the verse. I want the verse. You chuck me into lion's den without a phone, Google's not there to help me. I mean, come on. This is desperate times. I can't access Alexa or any of these devices that drive me nuts. We were talking the other day with my grandkids. I was just talking. Alexa interrupts us. Go away, Alexa. No one wants you. You know, oh my goodness. How can you interrupt me when I'm talking to my grandkids? You know, I don't want a life of AI. I want a life of God in me, where the Word of God becomes real and true. We're moving on now to trusting God explicitly. So, my favorite verse, my go-to verse, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. All the time I have to come back and get all freaked out by the latest screaming. You know, we have an international news channel. I was born in Lewis. I got to hear what one village to the next village. You know, Colum had bought two more cows. And that was the news, man. That was, I got to go up there and have a look at the cows. I didn't hear about the disease coming from India. That's in India, only in India. But someone's now telling me that it's going to be in my door tomorrow. And it freaks you out. It scares you. You know, the economy's gone crazy. You're not going to have enough money. You're not going to have enough food. Oh, my goodness. You center your life on that topic, on the news of this world, and you will be brought all the way down. You will be in the lion's den with just you and the lions, and you're going to get eaten for lunch. You make your choices. We make our choice of where we go in life. We come to this to love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. I have to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not to my own understanding, because I tell you something, I can lean. I can lean all the way down to the I'm lying down. I mean, I'll go nuts. If I let my mind go crazy on the news, I go nuts. COVID just about drove me nuts. Lock me in the house for 23 hours against my will, I'm going nuts, okay? I got to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I got to acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. What a promise. Lord, I need you to direct my path. I am completely courseless. I have no navigation skills. My wife knows how to use GPRS. She trusts it. I don't. So she'll say, you have to turn left. This isn't the way I came. I don't think we go down by the riverside to find King's house. She was right. But you know something? My God's not my compass. If he's not my compass, I will get lost. So I want to say to you, you need this word of God. I want to just share something about relational space. Harville Hendrix, that's me crackling, isn't it? Oh my goodness, that's not my bones, honestly. Harville Hendrix, a great relational psychologist, therapist. He talks about the space that sits between a man and a woman. And this space that sits, so if I had a couple here in therapy, they're struggling. There's a space here that sits between them. It's a relational space. And he calls it sacred. And how he talks about that is when I say something beautiful to you, look gorgeous today, honey. Oh my goodness, I married the most incredible woman in the world. That puts something into the bank account, okay? When I say, like, well, you asked me, I don't think it fits you personally. It's just a little bit on the, that's going to be a withdrawal, okay? And I'm going to start to poison this space. I'm going to start a poison. You know what happens when you poison space in an actual relationship? You part. And when you part, you have to then raise your voice. I can't quite hear what you're saying. And so you find you part. That's the saddest thing of life. And so this space has to be seen as sacred. I want to talk about the space that is our space with God. In Psalm 91, he gives us such a beautiful... Oh, by the way, let me just say something. Do you think you need to pray? Do you pray? Do we think you need to pray? Do you pray? Jesus prayed. Oh my goodness. The Lord Jesus Christ here on earth rose up early in the morning, a great time before day, and he went out into a place separating himself out. Why? He had to access God. And you and I think for 1 minute that we can ever dare to go through life expecting God to direct our steps and not have the leading of the Lord through prayer. Father, I put myself before you today, God. I'm asking you, God, direct my steps. Show me your way. And, you know, don't go there with your prayer list or with Jenny and Peter and Paul. That's very important. Just go there to be with him. Just go there to be with him. Father, I'm going to be vulnerable to you. You know what Jesus said to some people? You prophesied in my name. You cast out demons in my name. You did great works in my name. I didn't know you. You never let me know you. Come to him. Be vulnerable. Father, I'm struggling today. I do not know what to do, God. Will you help me? And just sit there and let him love you. Sit there and just let him love on you. Seek him and you'll find him. Knock and that door will be opened. Ask and he will give it to you. Don't let the day, don't become circumstances controlled. Become purpose driven in your life to make the choice that this morning, I'm not going to look at the morning as the start of my day, I'm going to look at the evening as the start of my day. I'm going to go to bed early tonight. You know why? Because I'm going to get up a great time before the dawn and I'm going to go out and I'm going to seek the Lord with all my heart and I'm going to say, Father, the kids aren't up yet. Before that crazy, crazy stuff happens, the kids aren't up yet. I just want to sit here in the quiet of the morning and just take you in. Take you in, Lord. You know, he says there in the most, Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say, he is my refuge. He's my fortress. My God, in him who I trust. Let the shadow of the Lord come over you. Don't run away when he's just about to show himself. Don't hasten yourself out the door into the insanity of the world, not covered yourself in prayer and his gospel word. But let the shadow of the Lord come upon you. And you maybe I've got this now because I'm retired. I don't know. But look, we brought up kids. We're bringing up grandkids. We know what it's meaning. We know the pull of life and the yank and the stresses. But I'm going to make my choice. I'm not going to watch Dragon's Den, maybe. Or I won't have to watch the after show of The Apprentice. I'm going to go to bed earlier tonight. I'll watch that on iPlayer on AI at some later stage. But tonight, I want to give you, God, my heart because I want to be ready for you in the morning. Lord, give me a great sleep. I want to be ready for you in the morning. In Psalm 32, it says, you're my hiding place. You know what God calls that place in Psalm 91? A secret place. Oh, don't you want to be in the secret place? As a kid, did you not always want to find the secret place? He's showing you. You know the great thing about God? God is there no matter what you're doing over here. God never moves. He changes not. Even if we do that, he changes not. Even though we turn our back on him and he walks, he's waiting in the morning in the secret place saying, won't you come? Won't you come and see me? Oh, you're going to go off onto Facebook. Okay. I guess I'm going to lose you for another hour. Or you're on the news channel. Oh, that's a great place to go. That's going to fill yourself with calamity. I want you to come into the secret place. Let me cover you with my wings. Let me bless you. Let me show you my goodness. The relational space is so, so important. You know when Adam sinned, you know what the word says he did? He got out of there. He ran away. And he hid. You know there's going to be things in life where you have to say, God, I don't know why you've done this. Sometimes we say that type of thing to God. I don't know why you let this happen. I don't know why this ever happened to me. And sometimes we turn away from God. But you know what? When God found him, he knew where he was all the time. You know the question he asked him? Adam, where are you? I want to ask each of us honestly today, where are we with God? Where are we with the time that we give him? Where are we with the opportunity we have to really, really become spiritual beings in physical bodies that are doing nutty things? You talk about nutty prophecies. How about nutty things? Woo! How about just going up to someone who's healed? The Lord just said this to me, that you are, and you just give him a prophetic word. Wow! That just knocks him for six. Or, you know, sir, I really believe I could pray for you right now. Would you like me to pray for you? Boom! Impart the word of God. What about that? Come on, spiritual beings in a physical body. It's God and Christ in us, the hope of glory. I want to share the last part. Oh, I could preach this for hours. Each of these topics, I'm just glimpsing across it. Living life purposefully, on purpose, purpose-driven life. Rick Warren wrote that book, years old. Living life on purpose. What do you want me to do, God, today? You know that the idea is that Christ is in us, but that's easy. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I meet you, Lord. And that's Romans 10:9-10. And then we just, so many people think that's it. But the word talks about that it's not about just Christ in us. It's us in Christ. Us in Christ is the tough one. Us in Christ is in fellowship. Christ in the sonship. Us in Christ is fellowship. It's the work. It's a work. It's a work. You know what that work is? It's taking Christ and forming, asking God to form Christ in us. It's this tiny, minuscule thing. And sometime I've ever come back and preach Romans 12. I love it. It's this tiny little seed that gets dropped in you. And it'll stay there forever, unchanged. The babe will stay there unchanged unless you let him grow. And you let him grow by changing the mind. If you cannot take this word of God that you're reading every day and in the secret place as you're praying it over with God, if you cannot allow that word to suddenly come into your being so that suddenly you're alive in Christ, you don't think the way you used to think. You don't do the things you used to do. You're God-centered children who are living for the living God. Everything is about you and the character of Christ being formed in us. If Christ doesn't form in us, we're just really no different to many other people, except we've got religion. You know, we go to church. You know, just because you're in church doesn't mean you're in Christ. Revelation. Just because you sit in a garage, George Meyer said, it doesn't make you a car. Okay? So just coming to church doesn't do it. In Christ is, I will know you. Oh my goodness, when I spend time with you, I'm going to see, I don't think I've ever seen such love. Such peace. Even though the storms of life are banging around, you're a gentleman. You exude gentleness. You're good. Thank you. You're a good man, a good woman. You've done me well. I see your fruit. That's how Jesus said you'll know them. You'll know them by their fruit. So how is character formed? Here it is. I'm going to read you a little poem. And in the last few minutes, as I close up here, it says, I am your constant companion. I'm your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well turn over to me, and I will do them quickly and correctly. I'm easily managed. You must be firm with me. Show me exactly what you want and how something should be done in just a few lessons, and I will do it automatically. I am the servant of great people and, alas, of failures as well. Those of you who are great, I made you great. And those of you who are failures, I have made you failures. I'm not a machine, though I work with the precision of a machine, plus the intelligence of a person. You may run me for profit, you may run me for ruin, it makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? Who am I? Who is this thing that forms character? It's called habit. Habit. Some copies there, should you want that. I printed it out in the old days when we used to print things out. You can get that online now, but I found it in my... I'm so glad to give that away, honestly. Because I printed that personally in my photo. So that's just for you. It's habit. So what happens with habit? We take a thought. Think of a good habit. Think of a habit you want to get rid of right now. Okay, so just think of something you want to get rid of. You're sick and tired of it. Or you want to develop a beautiful new habit. You get a thought. You think about it long enough, or you go to the wrong site long enough, and you then build up an emotion for it. I've got this thought. I build up an emotion for it. And then I want to act it out. And the more and more I act it out, it forms as a habit. And that habit locks you. Locks on you. And it forms the character of the thing you've been focusing on. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man or woman thinketh in their hearts, so they become. What you focus on, you will become. So let me say something to you. Oh my goodness. If ever we needed to focus on God's word, if ever we needed to build the habits of God and God's word in our life, it is now. We are going to get tested in the next few months. The next few years, we're going to be tested like we've never been tested. If you don't know this word of God, if you don't know the God you serve, you will run. This is a guarantee you will run. You will shut down. You will do that chair and you'll walk away from him. Because everything is just going to get insanely crazy. And you're going to want to know, Father, Father, Father. I have your word. You said to me that you will come back for us. You said that you're a rock. Be my shield. Be my fortress, Father. When I feel like I cannot go on, Lord, give me the strength. Be my strength. The days ahead are days that we indeed have a wonderful opportunity to be all that God would have us to be. So I absolutely want us to, in this short time, I hope we have a desire now to know God a little bit more, to trust God even greater, and to live a life that's intentional and purpose-filled. So I'm just saying, it has been a joy to be with you today, an absolute joy. There's nothing greater I love to do than share the gospel message. There's absolutely, you know, my retirement has been nothing but, as Teresa will attest, the joy of being able to open up the scripture again. To take time, to not have to rush off to save families. Bless them. I love them. Love that organization. But you know, anything like that, a call of God like that on you, it's full time. It's full time. It's full time. It's 7 days a week. It's on you. It's on you. So I'm preaching to myself today. Believe me, I'm preaching to myself. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So let's just pray. Father, we want to ask, as the psalmist asked, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, that you would be our rock and our redeemer. And we do ask you this morning, Father, to search us. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in us. And Lord, if there is, then lead us in the way everlasting. Father, may this be our prayer today here in King's House. May we be a people whose hearts are set on you and who have chosen not just to invite your son Jesus into our life, but that we would be in Christ. Yes. That we would be in Christ searching for you, Lord Jesus, to form yourself in us, that our relationships would be pure and living a life that would be pleasing to you, that we would know you relationally, trust you explicitly, live for you intentionally, and may we be carriers, Father, of your presence wherever we go, children who can be trusted today to carry your word, dedicated to you, Father, in thought and deed. So we ask you, Lord, to help us, direct our steps, lead us, each and every one of us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.